Assalamu alaikum everyone and Eid Mubarak. Now, usually the main question we get around this time is how do we keep up those practices? How do we keep up that momentum we had in Ramadan after Ramadan? And we wanted to make things easier for you, so we went back to some of our past webinars and lectures and pulled out some of our favorite tips on how to keep that energy. So we hope you enjoy and benefit and really translate those practices, those goals that you had in Ramadan into your daily lives for this year and the many years to come.
A person tells themselves, which is very powerful. A person tells themselves, yuhaddithu nafsa. I'm telling myself, I will not disobey Allah. I will not return to those sins. I will not go back to watching, you know, whatever I was watching, listening to what I was listening to, doing what I was doing. I will try to manifest the goal of taqwa, which is taqwa ma'asi, mindfulness, and particularly mindfulness of God that leads me to abandon that which is displeasing to Him. I will not disobey Allah. Yuhaddithu nafsa. And I'm going to do what I can to not bring those shayateen back into my life, bring those sins back into my life, then that person will enter Jannah without being asked and without being punished. But he said, on the other hand, whoever tells themselves that as soon as Eid al-Fitr comes, that I will disobey Allah, the same way that I was before Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return that Ramadan to that person, mardud, rejected. May Allah protect us. That statement, mardud, is a tough one, right? Because literally, it's like the package came right back to you. You presented the package to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the package came right back to you, delivered back to the sender. Why? Because you had already told yourself, I'm going right back to what I was doing before Ramadan, that I will continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will continue to do these things. Now, the powerful thing in that statement is, وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ نَفْسًا, that the person is telling themselves something. I'm sure Sister Najwa has some powerful insights on that concept, since she wrote the paper on waswas, and obviously there's a lot to do with the psychology of this all. But this is not the shaytan. This is you telling yourself, I'm going to stop or I'm going to continue. And that doesn't mean that you will not inevitably fall back into some of the things that you'd said that you were going to stop, because there are going to be those times that we buckle under pressure, that we fall back into the sins that we said that we were going to abandon. I was able to quit this, but then I had a moment of weakness after Ramadan where I fell right back into it. I don't have to turn that moment of falling right back into it into a return to that habit. I can say, no, wait, I'm not doing this again. No, you know, this doesn't feel right. It's part of our, you know, similar to the physical consumption, spiritual consumption is the same way with our fitrah, that when you detox and you purify yourself for a long time, then when you put something that's not good for you back in your system, it feels off. And so spiritually speaking, as you've been spiritually detoxing, when you put something back in that doesn't feel right, that's not good for you, it's not gonna resonate the same way. And you're gonna have that moment of consciousness, like, wait a minute, do I really want to go back to this? Do I really want to make this a part of my life again? And you have to have that at least that commitment, that initial commitment, that sincere initial commitment that, ya Allah, I'm done with it. I'm going to stop. I was able to put it away for Ramadan. I can put it away going forward as well. While I'm not going to be able to maintain the same level of qira'at al-Qur'an and du'a and dhikr that I was in Ramadan, I'm not built that way. We're not built to be able to worship throughout the year the way we do in Ramadan. Ramadan is supposed to be an elevated sense of worship. But we are created in a way that we can abstain from the same things that are haram in Ramadan outside of Ramadan. We do have that capacity, and that's not an unreasonable ask to make of ourselves. You know what? Allah showed me my potential, not just in doing good and pushing myself to the next level with good. Allah really showed me my potential in staying away from that thing that I thought I could not live without. Engaging the Quran in the most wholesome sense possible allows you to enjoy it in the most specific sense possible. Like, there's no way that you're not going to enjoy your tajweed more if you're learning tafsir, or if you're listening to this reflection on the surah, it'll make memorization of that surah so much easier. SubhanAllah, so the holistic engagement of the Quran makes every specific engagement with it so sweet, and every verse is worth it, right? So if the Prophet said that the space of one whip and al-Jannah is greater than the entire world and everything that's within it, then every degree matters, every space matters as we elevate ourselves. So inshallah ta'ala, with that, Ustaz Tasneem, will you share your tip with us, inshallah?
Yes. So, assalamu alaikum, everyone. Excited to be back with you guys.
And the tip that I have is pretty simple and straightforward. But when it comes to Ramadan and it comes to that feeling of like excitement and motivation, what it really is, beyond, of course, the blessing, the barakah that comes with the month and all of the extra good deeds that are just everything is doubled and all of that, what really is so exciting about that month is the fact that you have these new goals in place, right? You're telling yourself, I'm going to read a certain amount of Quran, I'm going to pray a certain number of rak'ahs every night, that I'm going to do certain things in my day that are going to be different. And that's what makes the month special. And so because throughout the month, you're constantly pushing yourself to do different things, you're constantly pushing yourself to create habits that you want to keep after the month, but you're also doing things that it's not going to happen throughout the month, but you're taking advantage of that blessing of that month. And that's okay. That you're reading, you know, you're spending all night reading and praying just because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you a reward you can't even imagine. So we push ourselves to a degree that we can't even do consistently throughout the year, but we also create goals that we can carry on, inshallah, after Ramadan. So you've got all of these different types of challenges, right? Challenges unique to the month and the challenges that you want to set for yourself, you know, for the long run. And so what really is so great about Ramadan is that you're just doing things that you know that you won't do most of the year, or you want to do something new. So that, fortunately, is something that we can always do, that every month is an opportunity to set new goals, to set new challenges for yourself, and to hold yourself accountable, to push yourself to those goals. So think about what it was in Ramadan. What were those things that you were doing in Ramadan that were particularly, inspiring, that were really those acts of worship that were so rejuvenating? Because now, as you're trying to look at sort of this holistic approach to change and to continuity and consistency, you can start off with that one thing that you really loved and enjoyed. There's some acts of worship that we enjoy, but are difficult for us, are challenging. I'll be honest, fasting is one of the hardest acts of worship for me. And I really, really struggle with it. So for me, I'm thinking Shawwal, what do I really want to push myself to? Well, I personally love, reading Quran, or I love reviewing, I love reading about the commentary of Quran, something like that, right? And so I'm going to set a goal that's going to challenge me, it's going to push me to my limits this month, just as I push myself in Ramadan for that one specific, act of worship that I particularly enjoy. If there's multiple acts, think of smaller, consistent acts that you can do throughout the month, but really think about those goals that you set and try to imitate them, try to recreate them. You know, whether you want to do it for the year, you want to do it month by month, week by week, set goals to keep pushing yourself and challenging yourself. Now, for those of you who are like, well, I have no idea what my goals are, my challenges are, don't worry, we've got that problem solved for you, inshallah. What we're going to be releasing early next week, inshallah, is a weekly checklist. So if there are certain acts of worship you're not quite sure you want to focus on, if there are certain things you want to be doing, but you don't know how hard to push yourself, what we're going to be providing you with is a weekly checklist of different things you can do to engage with content that will boost, inshallah, your iman in regard to the Quran. It will increase your intellectual understanding of this religion, and inshallah will also strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as you are doing in Ramadan. And so we'll have different activities that you can do, different reminders, videos you can watch, things to really keep yourself engaged spiritually, and also activities that you can do with others. And that's also very important, because this is an opportunity for you to find a friend, find a family member, challenge them. Hey, listen, I'm doing this weekly checklist. I set these certain goals for myself this month. How about you join me? Let's compete. Let's set points for different types of activities. And that's really, really fun and inspiring when, you can check in on your friend, especially when it comes to like fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. For those who can do it, having someone around you, just texting them, hey, what are you making for iftar tonight? Let's break our fast over Skype, Zoom, whatever it is. It really makes a difference in terms of keeping up with that morale. Because of course, in Ramadan, yes, we're motivated. There's a lot of blessing in the month. But one big perk of Ramadan is knowing that we're all fasting. We're all in it together. We're all super thirsty and hungry, and that we're all going to be breaking our fast together. So try to recreate that sense of community, of togetherness in trying to meet those goals and challenges, inshallah.
Anyone want to add to that, Sean? I think as you were speaking about that, subhanAllah, this idea, it's not a set equation for people. I was thinking about it the other day, because we love to make these mathematical equations. So it's like, You know, if you've got 6 days of Shawwal, then that means that there's some divine equation of five times, you know, or one fifth of your ibadah in Ramadan or something like that. It doesn't work that way, right? So for some people, taking from the start, right, half of my Quran reading in Shawwal is what I'm, you know, half of the Quran that I read in Ramadan, I'm going to read in Shawwal, for example, or even a fourth. It's going to be different both in terms of the quantity of the proportion as well as in terms of the nature of their ibadah, right? And I think there's something to be said. I don't know how y'all feel about this, but switching it up sometimes is important, not necessarily doing the exact same ibadah. The hadith of the Prophet that sometimes faith can wear out in the chest the way that a garment would wear out. And part of that is tajdeed al-iman, of renewing faith, is sometimes doing different things to move your faith, to ignite something inside of you. So sometimes diversifying is good. So I'm not sure how you all feel about, you know, carrying the goals or sometimes even switching the goals, setting entirely different goals for Shawwal.
You will say to yourself, and it can be from Shaitan at times, well, I'm just not motivated. No, it's, let's look for transformation. And transformation is that change that is needed. And change, you know, we as human beings, we do not welcome change naturally. I mean, when we look at the prophets, they called for change in their connection with the creator. So it's really looking to transform in one thing, as Sheikh Omar mentioned, witr, and using the means, as Sheikha Tasni mentioned, yaqeen, providing a platform or providing a means for transformation. So some people may need a schedule. Some people, you know, in my garage, in my little gym, I have whiteboards, not one, but a number of them, and just letting my brain get free and then making sure that, you know, I can organize it bidnillahi ta'ala. So whatever means that you use, make sure that it's leading towards transforming yourself, you 2.0, the better version of yourself. You know, a lot of these taglines that we hear, but make sure that whatever you're inspired by at the moment, it leads to something, and that something is being transformed in whatever little aspect of life. And I think that's really, really important, because we as human beings love to be inspired, but let's make sure that it leads to something that is long lasting, inshallah, and that will help change us as human beings. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we're talking about the Quran now, he mentions in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, he says, "Ta'ahadu bil Quran." He says, recite and keep, you know, your ahad, your connection with the Quran. وَالَّذِي مُحَمَّدٌ نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهُ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا مِنَ الْإِبْلِ فِي عُقَلِهَا. Prophet ﷺ said, he said, I swear by whose Muhammad's soul is in, being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears by Allah, that verily it will leave أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا. And he said, this is the most severest form of leaving or escaping someone than the camel from its عُقَلِهَا, from its what it's tied to. Because the camel, if you don't monitor it, it will leave and run away, unless you have that uqul, that element that will prohibit it from escaping from you. And the Quran is in that fashion. If you, you know, they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't ultimately act upon it, that's where the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist in your memorization, preservation, which leads to transformation, right? So making sure that you're honest with yourself, you look at yourself, and like Sister Tasneem said, you know, like for her, you know, fasting was a trial for her. What's a trial for you? Be realistic with that. Don't look at someone else and know what you're capable of doing, and do as the Prophet said in another form of advice. As he said, المؤمن القوي الخير وحفظ الله كلهم خير استعين بالله ولا تعجزن. You know, he said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله ولا تعجزن. Hadith Muslim. He said, you know, the strong Muslim is more virtuous than the weaker Muslim, and both of them are good. Both of them are khair. And then he said, you know, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. He said, be busy yourself with that which is beneficial for you. Seek help in Allah, and do not give up. Do not give up. Just as Sheikh, you know, Mr. Omarji was mentioning that, you know, you take something, whether it's an ayah a day, you know, do something that you know you can handle and be consistent with that. Well, the Prophet, as we know within our Deed to Habit series, you know, even though a lot of these programs we are doing, you know, I remember Sheikh Omar, he gave me a text one time. He's like, make sure you're a little more general with your message. Why? Because this message should be timeless. Ramadan is just a catalyst for a new beginning, for a new habit. So going back to the deeds to habits, you know, which is paramount, coming from the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most beloved actions to Allah are those that are consistent, even if they were a little bit. So looking at our deeds to habits, 30 for 30 can be 30 for 30 every month, right? Whether it's 29 or 30 days, it's irrelevant, right? We go back to those verses in the Quran and we say to ourselves, okay, I'm going to listen for 30 for 30 from Asr, you know, till Maghrib. And then looking at my schedule that they gave me, I'm going to, you know, this year, try to be committed to Witr. And 30 for 30, when I sit with my child, when I sit with a friend of mine, I'm going to call them on the phone. We're just going to talk, mention some benefits from that. But something that is consistent. And then I'll end with the beautiful verse. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the chapter of Taha, where he tells the Prophet, "Wa'mur," after Ali ibn Ashtan al-Jin, "Wa'mur ahlaka bis-salati was-tabir 'alayha." It's a beautiful verse. It always reminds me because, you know, I remember when I embraced Islam, subhanAllah, I was told that I had to pray. And me being human, you know, I said to myself, okay, I got to pray. But is that for the rest of my life? So you have to pray five times a day for the rest of your life. Like, wow, the rest of my life, I have to pray five times a day. In the beginning, it sounds stressful. It sounds like it can be like, am I really going to be able to do that? But we shouldn't look at it as a challenge. Let's change that word to an opportunity. If we look at it as an opportunity and we try our best to reflect on ourselves and our abilities, and then we ask Allah to help us in this journey of life, we look at it as an opportunity to be better. And that's what we should strive to do, to transform. The little that you do, Allah will, He has the total authority to multiply it. And He mentions that in many, you know, in many hadith that's mentioned, praying a salat al-jama'ah, praying, you know, by yourself, you know, reading the Quran, every letter that you read, it's totally up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just remember that all of what we're mentioning are means to an ultimate goal. And that goal is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that mindfulness that pushes you to keep doing those actions. But know that salah is a means. Reading the Quran is a means. All of these are means to reach that unseen connection. And that's what we term as spiritual, right? And that is something that we'll never be able to quantify. We'll never be able to quantify that those blessings that Allah has given us. And that's why we should always remember when we do an action, you know, Allah gives us much more than we actually deserve. And that's just what the concept of barakah is. Let's not belittle that. And the little that we do, as she mentioned, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you much more, you know, than you can imagine. And that's something that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
People who read more Quran are having better Ramadans. And what we also find is that regularly reading the Quran has been associated with so many amazing outcomes. And I think this is part of the post-Ramadan blues. People are in a spiritual high in Ramadan because they're engaged with the Quran. And then once they leave the Quran, you're going to lose those benefits. So people who regularly read the Quran, they have better mental health, less anxiety, less nervousness, they're more relaxed. We have found that they have better marriages and relationship with their spouses, and they're actually more grateful to Allah, and they see more blessings in the world. And so there's a verse in Surah Taha that makes me think about this, where Allah says, Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. That, subhanAllah, Allah says that we have not revealed the Quran to cause you distress. And so the opposite of that is that we have revealed this Quran to cause you to be in a state of peace and a state of comfort. And this is really why Ramadan is such an amazing time for Muslims worldwide, because it is a time of peace and comfort because we're inundated with the Quran in our life. So my post-Ramadan tip is to feed yourself a daily diet of Quran.
So what I tell people sometimes is, you know, when starting that relationship with the Quran, just go in the index and then see a subject that interests you and then start there.
My number one tip in terms of the post-Ramadan blues is to continue working on your relationship with Allah. And that's seeking, you know, nearness to Him, that's thinking good of Him and being grateful to Him. And I think as we kind of touched on, naturally after Ramadan, we do miss Ramadan. We have that that emotional low, also maybe like a social low, not being able to connect with other Muslimin on such a high and wonderful thing. And it's really interesting. I was looking at research the other day, and there is research that suggests that during Ramadan, when people fast, that their serotonin levels go up. And they measured this on the 14th day and on the 29th day. And serotonin is usually associated with those good vibes, with us feeling good. It's associated with a lot of things, but it's feeling good. So I wonder, even after Ramadan, some of that dip is not just that emotional feeling of letting go of Ramadan, but also like a physiological dip as well. Allahu A'lam. But anyway, so how do we continue to connect with Allah? For me, it's just that reminder that that even with Ramadan passing, that Allah is always there, right? That it doesn't matter the time of year, although we feel, a lot of us feel closer to Him during Ramadan, that He is readily available all the time. He's there in the last third of the night, just waiting for us, waiting to answer our dua. Whenever we reach out to Him, He always comes back to us with more. So for some, during Ramadan, there is that heightened sense of like, I can connect to Allah more. But just that mindset, that we shouldn't have that black and white thinking, that it's not all or nothing, that I can continue to go to Allah. It might not be in the capacity that you were able to do in Ramadan, but working on that attachment and that love to Him. I think when we think about attachment in the field of psychology, it's natural to look at attachment with parents or our children or, you know, our spouses. But when we look at attachment with Allah, how many of us are secure in our attachment with Him, that we love Him and we want to be around Him, whether we're in Ramadan or not, or in the good times or not. And so what are just practical ways that we can feel closer to Him is remembering that He's close to us all the time. He's always there ready to hear our dua and to forgive us for our sins and accept our good deeds, inshallah. Another thing is also thinking well of Allah too. You know, a lot of us, we tried our best to, you know, do all these good deeds and we ask for forgiveness. And I think when you think highly of someone, whether it's Allah or just someone else, you are more likely to want to do good because you are expecting good of them, right? If I go to someone and every time I go, I feel rejected, I'm not going to want to do those deeds. But thinking of Allah makes me want to, or thinking highly of Allah, we don't know with any certainty that our good deeds are going to be accepted, but thinking highly of Him will increase my motivation to want to do those good deeds, not just because I'm going to get the ajr, but because I want that closeness. I want that love from Him. And then also practicing gratefulness too. You know, it's, gratefulness is kind of two parts. When we are grateful to someone, then we are reminding ourselves of those blessings that someone gave us. So it's a good reminder to us, but naturally the other person reciprocates. When we are appreciative, the other person gives us more. And we know that Allah surpasses any human capacity, that He gives us way more than we are able to give to Him. If we go by a handstand, He comes by an arm's length. And so keeping that in mind, that having that appreciation is a way of feeling closer and building that secure attachment with Allah.
Allahu ta'ala anhum wa arda. He said, when we buried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there in Medina, he says, qala ankarna qulubana. We did not recognize our heart anymore. We felt weird. We felt different. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he was in Yemen. He didn't hear about the news until it was late. So by the time he arrived in Medina radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, he said, I couldn't even tell that it was the same. That's not the same city that I left. He says, Adlamat al-Madina. The streets of Medina felt a little bit darker than usual. Why is that? Because again, the incentive for many of these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to stay always upright and always maintain that momentum and their ibadah, seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enjoying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam companionship, hearing him every single day, seeing him every single day, that incentive is gone. And for them to move forward right now becomes a matter of choice, a matter of absolutely personal choice. When Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard the news about the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in a shock. like many, many people. You have this moment of joy and happiness, that amazing high moment in your life, and all of a sudden it's crushed because the incentive is gone. There is no foundation for it anymore. And as a result, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, as we know him, so solid like a rock, radiallahu anhu warda, he melted. He melted completely. And he was there in the masjid holding his sword, threatening the people who says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, I'm gonna go after him. No, he did not. He went away to meet his Lord like Musa did, alayhi salam, and he's gonna be back. That's what Umar was hoping for, until Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that solid rock, even though he was a soft one. But that moment required a solid person, and he was that for them, radiallahu. He was a foundation. He told Umar, sit down, ya Umar. Just sit down. And then he started the ayah. The ayah which was already in the Quran, which Umar radiallahu anhu recited and read regularly, and every sahabi knew about this ayah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammad is a man. Just like you. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. He, if he dies, you're going to just turn away and turn your back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that what you're going to do? So when Umar, he heard that, he realized, this is it. Muhammad is not there anymore, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq told them all in that moment, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنُّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتَ. Let those who worship Muhammad know that he's dead. And those who worship Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu Hayyu la yamut. He's everlasting, never dies, subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, today as we come to the first Jum'ah after Eid, ankarna qulubana. We look at our hearts, not the same. When we woke up in the morning for Fajr, it didn't feel the same anymore. That joy of Ramadan, oh, it's not there. Truly, the after Ramadan blues and withdrawals are real. They're real. And we're humans after all. If the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they had moments like these, who are we not to have them? Our incentive was Ramadan. Yes, sleepless night, going hungry and thirsty, but it was bittersweet. You would look for those moments. You enjoy that sacrifice, subhanAllah. And now the incentive is on you. 6 days of Shawwal, on you. There's no collective effort anymore. So therefore, it's up to you. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go the way of Bakr as-Siddiq or the way of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ shira. Every deed, every good deed has a shira. A shira means a peak or a high moment. High, قَالْ وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ شِرَةٍ فَتْرَ. And after that high moment, it goes to decline. So you have high and lows of every deed. Then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي. Whoever's low moment is still on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like you have a standard for this, faqad ihtada. Then you're guided, you're well guided. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ضَلِّ. But whoever's low moment goes below that standard of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, faqad ضَلِّ, that person is going astray. So you be careful. Yes, after Ramadan, we might not have the exact same excitement and feeling that we usually do every single Ramadan and every single day of Ramadan. But that doesn't mean we go all the way down below even what we used to be before Ramadan. Ramadan supposed to raise your bar. So that if I go below, I'm still at a higher level than I used to be before last Ramadan. Or before, actually before the days of Ramadan. That's where I need to be today. Even if I go a little bit down, I'm not gonna go below where I used to be before Ramadan even started. I don't expect to be at the level of Ramadan. But I don't want to be low, below the level before Ramadan. So I have 7 points for you, inshallah ta'ala, to help us to go, continue to go strong, even after Ramadan is gone. Things we learn from this hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, the first thing to learn that what you're going through is a journey. And change is a process, is not an event. If anyone thinks that change is an event, like alhamdulillah, I attended Ramadan, so you got a graduation, mashallah. I've attended the last 10 nights of Ramadan. They were amazing, alhamdulillah. The night, the soft heart, you know, points and late night khatiras and tahajjud was amazing. It was the best part of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And then it's over now. Well, that was an event. That was an event. The changes are gonna happen in you as a result of that event. It's a process, it's a journey. So you make sure to continue on that journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing you to that journey. He says, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta atiyakal yaqeen." You worship your Lord until you meet your certainty, which means death. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of Isa alayhi salam, what did he say about him? He said, "Qal wa ja'alani mubarakan." He made me blessed. "Wa ja'alani mubarakan ayna ma kuntu." Wherever I go, I'm blessed. "Wa awsani bis salati wa zakati ma dumtu hayya." And he enjoined upon me to establish salah and give zakah as long as I live. What does that mean, jama'ah? There is no break in this dunya. Whether it's Ramadan over or Ramadan in, out, it doesn't matter. Being on that journey, it's going to be a process. So you be prepared for that, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number two, what we learn from this hadith? That there's, again, a high tide and a low tide over here. When you're on the high tide, you need to put every single effort or energy you have to keep you going even higher. So that when you start taking your break, you don't go below where you used to be before. That is now the spirit from this hadith. Take advantage of your high moments. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sometimes you sit down and you feel defeated a little bit because the incentive is not there anymore. You come to the masjid for Salat al-Isha because it was a beautiful sight. A beautiful sight. Fajr, it was a beautiful sight, no doubt about it. But now I come for Fajr and Isha, it's a little bit depressing. I don't see the same number of people. I don't see the people walking. I don't see the traffic jam and all that stuff and fighting for that spot in the Musalla area or even outside. It's not there anymore. Yeah, the incentive is not there. But I need to make sure whatever is left in me from that journey and from that energy, I need to push myself in more and better, inshallah ta'ala. So that I adjust to the new norm right now, but in a better position. So make sure to remind yourself of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The believers are those, when they're reminded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts are trembling. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the verses of Allah is being recited to them, their iman increases. What does that mean? Their heart already trembling and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean, zadatum imana? Their iman increases. The ulama, they say their action. The action, which means their practice of that iman increases. Alhamdulillah, a reminder like this should also push you to the next level. What is your plan after this Jum'ah? What are you going to do? And subhanAllah, we learned that from Ramadan. The beautiful actions of Ramadan that we can continue to do, inshallah, azza wa jalla, like what? As-siyam, fasting. You can fast at 6 days of Shawwal. Start with that right away as a reminder. Maintain Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days of every month. Maintain that around the year. Don't go to the level before Ramadan. Don't let fasting slip away from your hand because you're traveling or you're in the summer vacation or this and that. There is no break, jama'ah. Wa'bud rabbaka hatta atiyaka al-yaqeen. You worship until you die. So you still even worship in every moment you can. Tahajjud, qiyam al-layl. I know we think that tahajjud is only for the huffad and those who know how to recite beautifully. No, it's not. It's for you and I, for everybody. At least 2 rak'ah. It doesn't have to be 8 or 4 or 10 or 20. 2 rak'ah. Every now and then you add to your night schedule. Every now and then. But make sure that no week will pass us by without you making tahajjud. At least wake up half an hour before fajr. You know what? You can do this. Then before you go to sleep. After Isha and before you go to sleep. Pray 2 rak'ah at least. Recite 1 page each. 2 pages of the Quran, whether you know it by heart or read from the Mus'haf. But practice Qiyamul Layl. Read the Quran at least 1 page a day. At least 1 page a day. I'm too busy, then listen. But have some sort of connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charity. Have a charity box. Put something online to be drafted out of your money regularly without even paying attention. At least every single day you're paying something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being generous. We fed people, we cooked food, we distributed things, we gave others. Share this generosity with other people. Continue that generosity inshallah ta'ala. And there is so much you could do. There is so much you could do as the legacy of the month of Ramadan. Number three, in the low tide, when now I'm not in my best level of iman, what do I do? You need to remember that it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that in the Quran. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every hardship, Allah will bring ease. Because indeed, for that hardship that you're suffering from, Allah will bring ease to it. So every time I fail, every time I go through difficulty, Allah will bring me ease. So I need to anticipate that ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I fail, it's not the end of the world. I will recalibrate. I will be prepared, inshallah ta'ala. So when the high tide comes, I will push myself to the next level, inshallah azza wa jal. Remember that when you feel low a little bit, do not go below that red line that you create for yourself. Keep that standard. That's what Prophet ﷺ called sunnati, my level of sunnah, my level of practice of the fara'id and the ibadat and the ta'at. Don't allow yourself to go below that line. Number four, companionship is important. You learn that in Ramadan, the reason why you were able to wake up and stay up all night and to come to the masjid, even though you don't want to come to the masjid, because someone pushed you to do that. Or you heard that some of your friends were coming to that event, or that program, or that musalla. You knew that. Whether it was your spouse, your child, your friend, anybody. That buddy system should continue with you, but for the good reason. Because remember what the Prophet ﷺ told us about companionship. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَدَلُّ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. He says, look, everything, you know, two things, indicated to each other. Like he said, as-sahib sahib. Just the best example, he says, that friends are gravitating to each other, which means they pull. So if someone is doing good, they will pull you to do good. If someone is doing bad, they will definitely pull you to do bad. So make sure that your companionship after Ramadan is well filtered for the purpose of you keep going, inshallah, to strong after the month of Ramadan. Number five. What do I need to maintain? Consistency. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in hadith Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qila ya Rasulullah, ayyul a'mali ahabbu ilallah? What are the deeds most beloved to Allah azza wa jal? A question everybody asks after Ramadan. Like saying, look, I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. Tell me something that is most beloved to Allah will give me the greatest reward. What can I do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give a specific deed because he knows people are different. You have different schedule, different styles and so on. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something we can all agree on. He said, qala adwamuhu wa in qal. He says, the most consistent, even if it was little. So I'm not going to tell you do this or do that. But I'm going to tell you, choose one thing before you leave this Jum'ah. Choose one thing you do. Whether it's to start with two rak'ah after Isha before you go to sleep, or fast Mondays, or start with something, whatever that is that you want to do, start with, inshallah ta'ala, one page every single day after Fajr, after Dhuhr, after Asr. Whatever you decide to do, make sure to start with this and keep it consistent, because that's how you keep strong after Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And number six, do not nullify your deeds. Do not nullify your deeds with constant reminders and boasting about them. How is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Stop boasting about what you do, thinking that, you know what, we owe you in return to what you're doing. Allah doesn't owe you anything for what you've done in Ramadan. Keep that in mind. So in hadith, which is disputable in terms of authenticity, but the Prophet ﷺ, he said, قَالَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا يُجَرُّ عَلَى وَجِهِ مِنْ يَوْمِ وُلِدْ. So if someone is being dragged on their face, means they're just doing this ibadah for the sake of Allah, from the moment they were born until they die, all of this doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَحَقَّرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will make all their effort little. Like, don't ever think that what you do is too big. Whatever goody that you do, if you're going to compare this to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all is little. So if you've done something you've never done before in Ramadan, thinking that I've done way and beyond, that then in this case Allah owes me such and such a return, you're wrong. Don't make the effort you put in Ramadan to go waste by this kind of constant boasting about it, thinking that, oh, alhamdulillah, I've done something never done before. I finished the Quran from cover to cover. Being, alhamdulillah, happy about it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay. Being, you know, joyful about the ibadah you've done for the sake of Allah, it's okay. But using that in order to expect in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you something you demand, Allah doesn't owe you anything in return. Because whatever you do, compared to what Allah has already given you, is nothing. So stop losing and ruining your ibadah and your reward by doing that. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم ولي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مما بعد. The last point, number 7, people ask, okay, where do I start? Help me out over here. I want to know what kind of program should I start and keep in, you know, active with after the month of Ramadan. The best program was given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this very short hadith, hadith Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa radha, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قال اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن رواه الترمذي. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you need to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious of Allah azza wa jalla. اتق الله حيثما كنت, wherever you are. Because that's what matters now. Whether you're at work, in school, privately in your home, closing doors behind you, in your car, in the street, in public place, private place, whatever that is. If you keep the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind, you will do well. You will do well no matter where you are. So keep that in mind, number one. Number two, he says, قَالْ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That follow the mistake that you do with another good deed, it will erase it out for you. And that's the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generosity of Allah azza wa jal. You do well, it erases the bad one, but not premeditated. It's not like you premeditated doing good after doing bad. No, if you tripped, if you made a mistake, because no matter how much you try to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will fall short. It's okay. So what do you need to do now? To recalibrate and try to do something good. Hopefully it will erase that out for you. The least is doing tawbah and saying astaghfirullah. The least. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, قَالْ وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Deal with people, intermingle with people in good manners. Like have good manners with the people. What does that exactly mean? Look, if you can't be good, if you can't make anything good, then if you're going to do bad, then don't hurt others. Make that bad just on you. If you're going to make something wrong, just make it against your own self. Do not hurt anybody else. Because hurting someone else in the process, it's hard to really to erase. It's difficult. So you make sure that you keep treating people in the best manners you can. Remember these three things. This is the step that you should really live your life by. Always try to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. If you make a mistake, fix it. If you can't even make anything good, then don't hurt people.